Hello everybody and welcome to Patriotic Weekly Review, episode number 111. And we are here tonight with our special guest. In fact, strangely enough, Laura asked not to be introduced as a special guest because she says she's on so many streams and does so many things that she didn't actually want to be called the special guest. So just with our regular run-of-the-mill guest, Laura Towler, and obviously with our incredible co-host, Jason No White Guilt, who's been very famous this week, and we're going to be talking about that in a minute. Now, we are live tonight on RadioAlbion.com, which is the home of my good friend Sven Longshanks. Please make sure you are supporting RadioAlbion.com. Please make sure you are going to that site regularly, that you're using it, that you're supporting it. It's full of amazing nationalist content, including my weekly shows with Dr. Patrick Slattery and Dr. David Duke. So make sure you have that bookmarked. I am also live on Odyssey and live on DLive. Now, if you want to watch the replay of this show, you can watch it on BitChute or over on Odyssey. Now, Odyssey at the moment is my favorite platform because I can stream there, and I also have three channels. I have a channel dedicated to old PWR episodes. I have a channel with all my scripted videos, and I have a channel with our more, should we call it lightweight or fun content, random streams, gaming, movie reviews, book reviews. Got a channel with all that. It's a really, really great platform. Please support Odyssey. Keep supporting BitChute as well, but make sure you support Odyssey. Make sure you subscribe to me over there. Now, this week I was doing a scripted video about BlackRock, and it was called, it was basically talking about how BlackRock concentrated their wealth and bought up a lot of property during this coronavirus fake pandemic. But I actually forgot, I've got a live stream with Laura on Friday about PA and the progress we've made this month. So please make sure you tune into that. Now, if you want to contribute to this show, we are taking donations through Entropy. You can make paid donations through Entropy. You can send super chats. Any paid super chat will be read out live on stream. We can also take non-paid questions through Entropy. The best rated non-paid questions get read out live and we will answer them. I also take cryptocurrency donations. So if you want to donate to me via Bitcoin or Monero or Bitcoin Cash or Ethereum or a range of other different coins, you can either look them up on my profiles or you can write to me at mark@thefallofwesternman.com and I can give you any crypto details you need. Or if you wish, you can ask for my bank details and you can send bank transfers or donate via other means. Remember, all donations are very gratefully received, and these donations are basically what allows me to do this full time, what allows me to work full time for the cause. I do not take a wage from PA. I do not take a wage from anything else in the movement. This is how I keep my head above water. This is how I can work full time for this cause. And if you like the work that PA is doing, if you like the work that I am doing, that is the best way to contribute. So before we go over to our wonderful special guest, wonderful regular guest, Laura Towler, Jason, how are you, my friend? I hear that you've become very famous recently because you described critical race theory as anti-white and some bizarre leftist goblin who masquerades as the new face of republicanism in the state got rather hot under her large collar about your comments.
She did indeed. And if there's any issues while I'm while we're chatting today, just let me know and I'll work on it immediately. I'm just, so folks know, I am went to a couple of IRL events and speaking with potential some larger investors for the OE that we've been building for several years. And so I am in the midst of a 10-11 hour drive on the way back. So that's what, if you hear road noise, that's what's happening. But yes, we have these, as you all have in the UK. And first of all, for Laura, I got to say, congratulations. I love it. I'm so happy for the both of you. It's magnificent. So I couldn't be more excited, but I couldn't wait any longer to start screaming it. But so just like you all have in the UK, we have these anti-whites. And like you said, Mark, we'll get into it. We'll talk more about it. But we have these anti-whites that call themselves right wing. anti-whites who call themselves conservatives, anti-whites who call themselves Republicans. Just had Josh Hawley, senator in the United States, get up and give a speech that could have been given by an anti-white calling themselves Democrats. And so I decided to disassemble her with a roast, and it went fabulously well. Maybe I'll do that with Josh Hawley later today if I get back home today. I guess we'll see. But the big thing here, and we can just get underway, is that this creature, Carlin Borsenko, came unglued because our dialectics are inundating her spheres. Online, she's being inundated by anti-white, anti-whiteism, white well-being, Western kind. She's going to conservative events in Delaware, she's talking about, where everybody's using these words, this dialectic. Where's this coming from? And just got to put an end to it, because if it doesn't stop, then it means that there's going to be a white power movement. And, you know, of course, that's Nazism, and that's going to kill everybody. And so this is how the conservatives work. This is their immune system. And they purge everybody in those movements that cares the least bit about the well-being of whites. So we burn her to the ground. We listen to her video, burn her to the ground, and then she made a rebuttal and made a fool of herself in her rebuttal. But we can talk more about that as we roll, because it's a hell of a lot of fun and very funny. And all victorious, going perfectly with our lovely Laura here, carrying her bundle of joy that we're so excited about. But let's get started. I'll pass it back, Mark.
Well, thank you so much, my friend. So, Laura, our guest for tonight, congratulations. This is the first stream where you really discuss this, but obviously you are finally going to be a mum. You and Sam have got a little bundle of joy on the way. We're all taking bets on whether it's going to be a boy or a girl, but how are you feeling about all this?
Hey, well, first of all, thank you for inviting me on PWR. Yeah, I didn't want to be called a special guest because me and Max stream together all the time. And I thought the audience might be sick of seeing me. So I was like, I'll just be like another host tonight or something. But yeah, hello to you, Jason, and hello to everyone in the chat. I hope you're all doing well. I'm so excited that me and Sam are having a baby, and our son or daughter is actually expected to join us on Christmas Day. So that should be a fun Christmas day. But yeah, I was just reading the chat as well, and everybody's saying that I look thin. And the reason is because I have been so sick over the last 3 months. I've not been able to eat any food at all. And in your first trimester, you're supposed to gain between 1 and 5 pounds. And I've actually lost half a stone because I haven't been able to eat any food at all. The only thing I've been eating is cheese on toast and ice lollies. And that is it. I can't keep anything else down. But yeah, we've got loads of good topics to talk about tonight. So I'll pass back to you, Mark, and we'll get stuck in.
Well, I must say, you do look markedly thinner, and people in the chat were saying that actually as the stream were beginning. People were saying, oh, Laura looks really healthy. She looks really good. She looks in great shape. So you are bucking the baby trend. Not only are you actually having a baby, but you're actually losing weight and looking in the best shape of your life. So double congratulations for Laura, who is hitting those goals and is soon going to be a mum. And I just want to say, this actually, I knew about this quite early on, because when Sam was arrested and Laura and Sam had their house ransacked by the police, Laura said to me, and by the way, I'm doubly stressed that all this is happening today because I have just found out that I'm pregnant. So this is another great reason to hate the police. The police not only ransacked Laura and Sam's house, illegally took her laptop and her phone and basically behaved in an unlawful manner, but they did all of that to a pregnant woman. I've said this many times before, and I'm going to say it again now, and I'll say it many times in the future. The British police are absolute scum. And you can take that one to the bank. But again, congratulations, Laura. You're looking in great shape. And I think you're going to make a fantastic mum. And this is going to be a PA baby, because you and Sam met at PA events, didn't you?
Yeah, I think the first time we met was like a group of nationalists meeting up, and it was before PA was formed, but PA was just initially an idea. And then we met again at the first Camp Colette, which was a few years ago, and ended up getting together. And yeah, now we're married and expecting our first child. But I've actually wanted to tell everyone this because I found out I was pregnant on the Saturday, and then the police raided our home on the Wednesday. So me and Sam were so excited to be pregnant and so excited to be having a child. Obviously, we got married in November, and I think it was 5 months, and then we got pregnant on the fifth month. We were so excited. And then it was only like 4 days later and the police just turned our world upside down. And in the first trimester, you're really supposed to avoid stress because the baby is so weak. You know, it's not a proper baby yet. The second and third trimesters, it's a little bit stronger. But the first trimester, my midwife was like, you need to keep stress to a minimum. And I'm like, it's easier said than done. How am I supposed to keep stress to a minimum? So I've wanted to tell you all that as well, just to let you know how horrible the police have been to me when I've been pregnant. But obviously, we've had to keep it secret for the first trimester, which we've just got past, which is why we've made it public. But yeah, the police are just, they don't care about anything like this.
No, well, if anything bad had happened, God forbid, I would have totally held the police absolutely responsible for that completely. But I'm so happy nothing bad did happen, and I cannot wait for you to have what I think is going to be a little girl. I think it's going to be a little girl because Laura's been saying how active the little bump has been. And I remember when Sophia was nothing but a bump, and myself and Mrs. Mark were completely convinced it had to be a boy because she never stopped moving. She was just constantly wriggling and kicking. And it was to the point where if I put my hand on the bump, Sophia would push back on the exact part of the bump where I put my hand as if she was giving me like a little high five. And it was absolutely incredible. And we're like, this has to be a boy because the bump is just so boisterous. It's so active. So when Laura said to me, oh, the baby doesn't stop moving, it's constantly wriggling, I'm like, that's a girl. So my bet is that it's a girl. And the woman, the nurse at the hospital when we had our scan said, it's nearly always the case that little girls are more active in the womb than little boys. Little boys just sleep in the womb. What do you think to that, Laura? A little girl to come and play with Sophia. Are you in for that?
Yeah, well, obviously, you know, being serious, I don't think me or Sam care whether it's a boy or a girl. But I think Sam kind of has like this little hope that it's a boy, you know, so that he has his first son. And everyone's just winding him up, basically telling him it's a girl. So we find out at the start of August. So we'll let you all know.
Well, I'm really looking forward to finding that out. And obviously, I was over the moon when I found out. It was just the weirdest time to find out. But look, we've got a lot of great news stories to talk about today. And one of the news stories, or the news story that I want to kick things off with, is it's now being discussed quite openly by a number of members of parliament, by certain mainstream news articles, that the notion of white privilege and this critical race theory in schools, which is vehemently anti-white, is actually massively negatively impacting white pupils from poorer areas, because these kids, they don't have any privilege. They might be from a poor background, they might be from a broken home, they might be from a bad area, but for whatever reason, they are being told, well, we know what reason is, they are being told relentlessly that they have white privilege, that they're better off, that they've got their feet on the heads of the non-white students in their classes or at their school. And this is affecting them. And this is actually from the BBC. White working class pupils have been failed by decades of neglect in England's education system, a report by MP says. The Education Select Committee accused the government of a lack of targeted support for disadvantaged white pupils. It says the use of the term white privilege, suggesting white pupils are not an advantage, is the opposite of the reality for poor white pupils. The government says it is committed to making sure no child is left behind. Now, that's a weasel-worded statement, if there ever was one. The report warns that white pupils on free school meals underachieve from early years in school through through to GCSE, A-level and university entry, compared with pupils on free meals from other ethnic groups. And it said, and committee chairman Robert Halfen said it was a major social injustice that so little had been done to address this gap in attainment, and accused the government of muddled thinking in suggesting it could be explained by poverty. If you think it's about poverty, then it doesn't explain why most other ethnic groups do much better, he said. Poorer white pupils are falling behind every step of the way, he warned. And with almost a million young people being affected, it could not be swept under the carpet. And then there's some figures and bits and pieces there that we can go through if people want to. But obviously now, this anti-white agenda that is being pushed is now being commented on in the mainstream. And I don't think that's in any small part thanks to us. We have really pushed this. Actual ethno-nationalists who have relentlessly talked about race and pushed back against critical race theory, who have, we've called it anti-white, we've pushed back against white privilege, we've called that anti-white. I think we've done a massive service for white people, and now this is being discussed on a national level. What do you think to this, Laura?
Well, this is a story that caught my eye this week, and I actually spammed a load of articles in the PA writers chat, and I was like, we need to write about this week because it's huge, and it's something that nationalists have been talking about for so long. You know, I've made numerous videos about the education system in the United Kingdom. I'm not so knowledgeable on America, so obviously no white guilt can jump in a moment and comment on that, but in the United Kingdom, white children enter the education system at the age of 5 and they're performing one of the best ethnic groups. They only have Chinese and Indian kids above them. When they leave the education system at the age of 16, they are performing the worst, excluding nobody. White working class boys are performing the worst. They have Pakistani kids above them. They have Bangladeshi kids above them. Bangladeshi people are the most likely to be unemployed in this country, but they're performing better than them. They have black kids above them. What is going wrong in the education system? Well, the system itself, the establishment, the government, academia, etc., will say that it's the fault of white parents. And, you know, our white parents just don't care about their kids. Well, why are they entering so high up and then dropping the more exposure they have to the education system and to teachers? And it has to be the levels of indoctrination that they receive. You know, being told from the minute you're a little toddler to just before you're an adult that you're responsible for all of the evils in the world, being responsible for oppression and colonialism and all of this kind of stuff. And I don't know if you guys saw a documentary on Channel 4 called The School That Tried to End Racism, which was on about a year ago. All the kids were getting on, you know, all the kids of different races, they do stick to their own ethnic group, but they were getting on. And then the teachers taught them that the black kids were victims and they were owed something, and the white kids were oppressive. And they had to start this running race where the white kids started at the front of the race because they have white privilege. And the kids were embarrassed and awkward about the position that they were put in. And it is child abuse. It is child abuse. And I'm so against it. And I just think white children today, I think that they feel lost. I don't feel like they see a future for themselves at all. They feel like they owe other people something, you know, even though they're kids, they should just be enjoying their life. They should be taught that they're loved, that they're valued, that they can be proud of who they are. They should be able to achieve whatever they want to achieve, but they're told that they have to hold back a little bit. And we also have the phrase now, silence is violence. So if you don't do anything about it, you know, that's bad. You know, even if you're not racist, even if you're not an oppressor and you just get on with everyone, well, you can't do that because silence is violence. You need to actively try and dismantle the system of white supremacy and white privilege. And it's just disgusting. It's child abuse. It's something that I talk about all the time. It's something that PA focuses on a lot because it's such an important issue. It might even be worth us doing a leaflet about the education system, Mark, because I think it's an issue that speaks to a lot of people, especially women, you know, because they care about their children. So, I just think it's I just think it's horrible. And, you know, the Tories highlighting it this week, it's their system, it's their paradigm that's doing this, you know, that's anti-white, that's doing this to kids. We've had a Tory government now for over 10 years, and they're the ones that are introducing all this. So them highlighting it, it doesn't matter because they won't do anything about it. They'll just say, yeah, you know, white kids are struggling a little bit because they're told the privilege. And then that's it. In fact, they'll probably apologise for saying it. I reckon they'll apologise for saying it. They definitely will not do anything to fix it. And this is why we need to get out of this two-party system. And white people just need to take their own sides. And that doesn't mean that you hate anybody else. It just means that you want the best for your people. And I think we're going to start seeing more and more of it. But I want to hear from Jason, because I saw his dismantling of, what's her name? Carolyn something.
I find it really hard to pronounce.
And then I saw her response to you, and the video was initially called No White Guilt Can Go F Himself. And then she changed the title of the video, I think, didn't she?
Yeah, that's exactly right. A lot of what you said there was just absolutely right on point. We're benefiting from the victory of the anti-whites in a big way, in that the anti-white ideology is discrimination against white people in hiring in places like education, because the application of anti-whiteism was much more brilliantly insinuated into the educational system in a way that was much more similar to the entertainment, and therefore much more powerful over the minds of those who became infected. It became just part of your tapestry of your world, of your understanding. Until you started to see the anti-whiteism. You didn't know how anti-white the system was until you started seeing the anti-whiteism. And the anti-whites, both as a consequence of their hubris becoming increasingly powerful and controlling more nodes of power, having less and less opposition, and hiring dumber people because they are actively discriminating against white people, hiring dumber people. They now have folks coming to the conclusion that you can name a whole school of thought, critical race theory, and specifically go after white people. Well, this is infinitely dumber than the way they used to go about infecting us. And it's one of the reasons why I talk so fervently about not focusing on just this title, critical race theory. And in fact, we saw as soon as Trump was talking about banning it from being something that government employees had to go through, the anti-whites immediately were tossing around terms for the new name. So the issue is anti-whiteism, the superset under which all anti-whites place the ideologies that they give various names. And of course, we never use the names that they give the things that they advance and the names they take for themselves. And we never adopt the names that they give to us. This Borsenko, it's Carlin Borsenko. And she is a stellar example of what is happening all over the West when it comes to those who are purportedly defending those things that our brothers and sisters, our white brothers and sisters around the world, that we care about. And ultimately, those things, what are those things? Those are the projections of our biosphere, our instinct onto the world around us. It's why we create Western civilization everywhere we go. There's nowhere in history where a bunch of white people showed up on a plot of land and then suddenly made Asian civilization. It just doesn't happen because we are, our creations are products of who and what we are. And that's why they're so similar from country to country. So we believe, so many of our brothers and sisters, that is, across our countries, believe that people like Carlin Borsenko, Republicans, Tories, whoever these folks are, who are claiming to be defending the things that we care about, we believe that they are honestly advancing those positions, that they care about those positions for a lot of the standards of all things that we do. On a point just like this, and anywhere, in fact, where you identify, and this is what I've been doing, and one of the reasons I had to leave the Hill is because I pointed out that these things were anti-white, and they don't want to talk about that. They don't want to hear it. They hate white people. You just have to accept that all of the leaders, and conservative and Republican and whatever they might be otherwise, right wing, whatever they call themselves, they all hate white people. They might agree with us on more things than anti-whites who call themselves woke or things of that nature, but they hate white people nonetheless. And when it comes down to being pushed on the issue, like Carlin, they come absolutely unglued. They become apoplectic over the fact, the reality, that white people are going to defend ourselves not on abstractions, sacrificing our biosphere on the abstractions of just our ideas, but that we are going to acknowledge that it is we as a people who are being attacked, and that is why we as individuals are being attacked. They have a nose, these anti-whites do, a nose for being able to sniff in the wind when something is going to actually empower Western kind. That they don't want. They might have a dog in the fight when it comes to, ostensibly, I mean, Mark, how many times have both of you, actually, how many times have we seen where you have one of these abstractionists who says, well, it's all about freedom of speech, freedom of expression. But then when white people are going to express themselves about being victimized by the system, they say, nope, you can't have your freedom of speech anymore. So they reveal themselves, and that's exactly what Carlin did. This all started essentially with a disagreement between her and Fairbanks, Cassandra Fairbanks, and Carlin calling for her to be fired and then claiming she wasn't doing that, and then calling on her video, which I'm sure Laura saw, where she said, well, if Poole is not going to fire her, then he has to institute an editorial policy. And this, folks, is getting to see on the inside, not of the leftist, the anti-whites who call themselves leftist machine, but on the inside of the rightist machine, anti-whites who call themselves right wing. She said it has to institute a policy that forbids the word anti-white. And so, backing up just for a second, I'll pass it back so we can have some interplay on this because it's so magnificent. Absolutely roasting this hideous anti-white monster was a true pleasure, and having her come unglued after that, and the very next night doing this, no white guilt or whatever it is video, where she says, I mean, she actually plays the video, the whole video, and I say in that video that people of all immutable characteristics are welcome and encouraged to help us put an end to anti-whiteism. And she studiously ignores me saying that on the video. I mean, she's playing it, and I'm just pretend that didn't happen. And then she actually says, like, we catch her out a number of times, and I'll pass it back with this, that it's okay, I point out, it's okay, in fact, it's good, it's noble, it's heroic, just like any other anti-white, to stand up for non-white children and non-white groups. But according to Carlin, it is immoral, and in fact, concern trolling, dangerous to stand up for white children. And she actually, on that video, says yes, 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 repeatedly. Fortunately, the alt-right clips champion made a clip of that, a hilarious clip, and is passing that around. But here's the thing, actually, the thing I want to pass it back with, because this is something that really has to be discussed. There are many rumors about PragerU behind her, and that she's being paid by PragerU. Now, she did yesterday a video where she took calls, and she even took one from Patrick Casey, which, by the way, is used white well-being. This behavior of getting the opinions of people, of random callers, is antithetical to the way she was behaving the day before, and the day before that, and the day before that. This behavior yesterday was the behavior of someone who is being paid and had someone smarter than them who said, hey, you're not going to win this. We've got to cede some ground now and then fight again another day, and forced her to do that. This was a person who said repeatedly, F you, if you say anti-white, you're banned, and that's the end of the conversation. And a 180-degree shift in a 12 hours, 14 hours time, behavior of somebody being controlled by someone behind the scenes. So keep your eyes on folks like this, ladies and gentlemen, because you're seeing the puppet master who's holding the cash, and I pass it back.
Well, I think me and Laura have heard this somewhere before. Can you remember when I did that video about trigonometry. There's that guy who, he's obviously Jewish, and when he was interviewing that young girl who had been repeatedly sexually abused by Muslims, he was more bothered about white people coming together as an ethnic group to protect themselves against Muslim grooming gangs than he was that the girl had actually been abused. In fact, you could see how uncomfortable he was getting. And he said to her, look, you know, you guys can't come together as a group. You know, that'd be terrible. And this seems very similar to that. So Jason said earlier, you need to follow the nose. Well, I'm following the nose, and I want to know the ethnicity of this Carolyn Bor. What's, I can't even pronounce the name. Carolyn Borsenko. What do you think, Laura? Do you think this is very similar to the guys from trigonometry starting to sweat profusely and rub their hands uncomfortably when they thought of white people coming together as a group?
She seems to have some sort of anti-whiteness or some sort of, do you know, like when Superman experiences, is it kryptonite that makes him kind of she seems to have that kind of reaction to like white people collectivizing? So it wouldn't surprise me if she had some sort of ancestry in that direction. But I wanted to ask, do you guys know where she came from? Because I have never seen her before.
She does look like a swamp. The greatest thing about her, for the first few minutes of watching her do this, she was actually in a baseball cap. She was wearing a baseball cap. And do you know what she looked like to me? You know, if you've got like a big toe and you put like a little baseball cap on a big toe and then just painted sort of a face on it, that is her head and neck. She looks like a toe with a hat on it. And I've got to say, she is one of the most repulsive people. And I've got to say this to Praga U. I know that these people are not on our side. I know who runs Praga U. I know they're an Israeli op. But I've got to say this about Praga U. If you're going to parachute a woman in to try and cause problems and to try and lead the alt-right or the dissident right in the wrong direction, at least pick an attractive one. You know, at least pick one that guys are going to simp for, because no one's simping for that. No one at all. Laura, do you want to add anything?
Well, I'm not going to comment on her appearance, but
it's no, please do. Please do.
Because then people will slag me off.
She does look a bit like a toe, though. You've got to at least admit that.
I'll leave that to the boys. You guys can talk about what she looks
like. If she looks number one in the chat, if she looks like a giant toe with a baseball cap on.
Oh, my God. I was going to say, I've watched some of her videos this week for the first time, and I don't find her to be a very warm or charming or likable person, which is making me wonder, you know, like, where did she come from? Because she has, I think, over 100,000 subscribers. As far as I know, she's still got, like, adverts, super chats, you know, things to sell on her channel and that lot. And we're not allowed that. I mean, we're not even allowed YouTube channels. I've just about got mine, but I quit a few months ago. And it makes you wonder how she kind of was propelled into, you know, having all these subscribers and stuff. It's kind of like, I don't know, maybe if she's had a leg up or a foot up or something. I just don't find
maybe a toe up.
Oh, for God's sake. Maybe it's just my personal preference, but I don't find her very engaging or charming.
I can Jason, do you want to comment on Toegate? While I'm getting everyone into trouble, do you want to add to the madness?
Well, I roasted her. I mean, I called her Uncle Fester's fluffer, among other things. So I'm fine with roasting. She has been, and the reason why she became so popular is because she's been given these anonymous news breaking items. So she was the one who had the item about Coca-Cola before everyone else. That's where that came from. She broke that story, as far as I'm aware. And so that sort of thing is the exact way that the United States, and obviously other intelligence services, have worked abroad. And I would tell these phone calls that she took yesterday, that most likely she, if she's being handled, it's from behind the curtain, and she doesn't even know that she's being handled.
I think Jason has lost. We've lost Jason.
Other items.
Oh, he's back. He's back.
Can you hear? Okay. So they then empower the person, with unbeknownst to the person. They then empower the person with information like breaking news stories. So people flock to them. But now, what she did yesterday, I think that it's more likely that she's actively being told what to do. And potentially it is PragerU.
Well, this is very interesting, as I said, because I'm noticing this more and more, that every time these anti-white attacks happen and get exposed, and increasingly the mainstream media is being forced to talk about this by groups like PA, by other ethnocentric groups, by people starting to wake up to ethnocentrism and starting to understand that the attacks are anti-white. They aren't attacking us because we're English. They're not attacking us because we're Scottish. They're not attacking us because we're German or French. They're attacking us because we're white. Wherever we are in the world, if you are of European descent, that is why they're attacking you. They're attacking you because you're of European descent. And there isn't any European group who's left out from this. There's no European group that's exempt from this. This isn't just a conspiracy against Americans and the English, but the Welsh escape it. We're all in it together. If you've got white skin, you are going to be attacked. And this is becoming more and more obvious as time goes by. And because of this, you are going to see more and more controlled opposition. And I find it hilarious that she's got 110,000 subs on YouTube, because her content is not good content. Her content isn't engaging. She has these little breakdowns, these little fits, these little angry moments. She looks like a leftist. She acts like a leftist. There's no reason for young men to be following her, especially not on the right. She's not like one of these less obvious plants who are quite attractive and talk the talking point and flirt on that line between civic nationalism and ethno-nationalism. It's quite obvious what she is. But there is going to be more of this. There is going to be more trigonometries. There's going to be more Caroline Toeheads. There's going to be more of these people. And we are going to have to dismantle them, because we need to drag the Overton window in our direction. We need to keep moving things in a direction where people talk about race, where they talk about ethnicity, where they talk about attacks on whites. We've fought this battle for so long. I was saying this the other night on a different show. You've now got people like that French general who went on a French mainstream media channel and basically called out the people who own the media. Now, a few years ago, that would absolutely never, never have happened. You would have never had a mainstream program having a mainstream guest who was part of the establishment calling out Jewish power. But you have that today. You have articles on the BBC which are forcing to report on government reports talking about anti-whiteism. And we've just got to redouble our efforts. Winning isn't necessarily getting people elected. Winning isn't just about getting people into parliament. It's about getting our ideas into the mainstream. And although we haven't got anyone in parliament yet, our ideas are hitting the mainstream. And that, for me, is a big white pill. And there's so many of these shows where people just get depressed, they get down, they're all morose, everything's game over, we're up against unbelievable odds. But here we are today celebrating what I see as a huge win. The whole talk of anti-whiteism, you know, on the BBC, in government reports, this is a great time. This is a great time to be an ethno-nationalist. What do you think about that, Laura? Is this massive progress, or am I being too excitable?
No, I think we should celebrate the little wins like this. And I think when you and I and Sam were talking about it earlier on in the week, Sam said, you know, we've also helped to normalise the discussion around repatriation a lot. You know, it's been our focus at Patriotic Alternatives since day one, and we now have other parties, some who have elected councillors, talking about repatriation and, you know, talking about demographics and stuff. So that's one of our jobs. You know, it's not just to get through the Electoral Commission and then get people elected. It's to move the Overton window and allow certain conversations to become part of mainstream discourse. I just wanted to say, while we're talking about this Carolyn woman, I think she has actually quit, maybe. She tweeted something and everyone was posting it on Telegram, and she was saying something about she didn't sign up for this and she's going to go smoke some weed in the forest for a few days and take some time off or something. So I don't know if all the YouTube comments, and she was just totally ratioed on every video. I don't know if maybe it's all gotten to her a little bit and she's been scared away. But I do think to be involved in this sphere, you do have to be tough, because you are going to get insulted so much. And sometimes it will be people critiquing your arguments, and sometimes it will be personal stuff. And I'm not sure if she can take the personal stuff, because when I watched her watching Jason's response to her, every time Jason called her something, did you call her a turd, Jason? You called her something really funny.
Yes, I called her a turd.
And she was kind of doing, do you know that like triggered face that the SJWs do, where they're like, yes, every time you say something to him, she was doing that. And I was like, you can't respond to it. You've just got to shrug it off and just get on with it. I think maybe she's a bit too sensitive for this.
Well, she certainly hasn't had to face any pushback on these abstractionist ideas, simply because she's been handed these enormous breaking news stories. I mean, Coca-Cola, international company, billions and billions of dollars, saying be less white. That's what she's breaking. And so you have the whole white world are loving this woman. We tried to have her on a tap many times. I bought her a copy of my book Crucible. She thanked me for it. So it was, she was just riding high on whatever she's being paid, whatever she spoke out of the woods, count has dropped well over 1,000, and who knows whether YouTube is manipulating it less. But I have dozens of messages, most of them live, because I told people, I don't know if you saw Laura, I told folks, I said, quit her channel, sub to mine. And people were literally writing me saying, quoting me, quit her channel, sub to mine, and then writing done after it. They were finished with her once they heard an actual advocate for Western kind talking, because this was clearly a honeypot. Arming this abstractionist, this vicious abstractionist, with these breakthroughs, so that all of our angry brothers and sisters would go to her and think that this doctor has something relevant and important to say. Arming her this way is clearly an attempt to do what the anti-whites have been doing since long before our grandfathers and mothers were born, which is to corral the dissent, to corral the anger, to corral those who are upset about being victimized into some dead-end alley, so that we can never accomplish anything efficacious whatsoever. Now we have, Mark was talking about our ideas getting into the mainstream. That's what set this thing off. That's Uncle Fester's fluffer. That's what set her off. She's going to these events. She's in the live chats, and everybody's saying Western kind. They absolutely don't want people saying Western. They don't want there to be a homogenous a biosphere that has variations of an expression of Western civilization all around planet Earth, because that is something they know very well and good they will not be able to resist. Folks, be excited. I mean, the first thing to be excited about is Laura on your screen, looking so beautiful there. Probably best she's ever looked, beaming and glowing, and she's got this, and I get to cheat here, because we use the word Westman for both men, women, and children. So it's definitely going to be a Westman, a little boy or a little girl, so I can cheat there. I'm 100% right. But here's the thing. Excited for that. Excited. Mark's got his beautiful little baby. He's got his wonderful family. Folks, we are making a change in the actual tapestry, the milieu of the conversation, in which all of the conversations in society, all of the laws, all of the rules have to pass. And you are seeing the first time, proof positive, if you haven't been watching closely enough, that when you change the conversation, the anti-whites can't function. This, what you're seeing with Carlin Rysenko, is a perfect example of how they simply cannot function inside of our story, inside of our lexicon and dialectics. They break down, they have fits, and then they run off to the woods to get high. And that would be great if that happened with every single one of them, but I pass it back.
Was there anything you want to add to this story, Laura, before we move on?
No, not really. I think we've covered it. It's the education system and, you know, the notion of white privilege being inflicted on children is a massive topic, and I think it's something that we should talk about again and again and again. But yeah, I think, you know, when I said earlier that maybe we should do a leaflet about education, the chat seemed really enthusiastic about it, so that could be a good one.
I'll make it happen. Now, the next story I wanted to talk about tonight, this one's a story that I just found this story rather delightful. Female mob twerk on ambulance as it tries to get through Juneteenth crowd to reach injured and dying shooting victims in Oakland. A group of women were seen twerking on top of an ambulance in Oakland. EMTs were attempting to make their way to the scene of a shooting. The emergency vehicle was blocked from progressing by a mob of people. Around 1,000 people were gathered in Lake Merritt to celebrate Juneteenth. Crowd appeared completely unaware as to the seriousness of the situation. Shooting incidents saw one person killed and at least 7 other were wounded. Now, the reason I find this story so delightful, these are the two beasts, or two of the beasts, who mounted the ambulance to shake their ample derrieres at the crowd, and potentially the ambulance crew as well. But one of the things that made me laugh about this, well, one of the things, everything made me laugh about this. I just found this story so utterly delightful. What we've actually got here is black on black crime. You've got black criminals or black gangsters or black thugs opening fire on other most likely black criminals in Oakland. Other innocent people, no doubt, got caught in the crossfire. Then you have the emergency services, and this is all on Juneteenth. This is on their silly new holiday that was created to appease black people. So white people in America are told yet again how evil they are, how wicked their ancestors were. So we have to create a new national holiday just for black people, Juneteenth. But on this national holiday where these people should be celebrating, instead they're shooting each other. And when the emergency services head to the shooting to basically try to save the lives of those involved in the shooting, what happens? Well, the black crowd sees an ambulance, they see the lights, they hear the commotion, and what do? They don't move out of the way and let the emergency services go and save people's lives. No, they do the only thing that could be done in this situation. They climb on top of the ambulance and start shaking their behinds, having a little bit of a party, twerking away. And, oh, there she is. Look, she's twerking, and there's another woman slapping her behind. You know, absolutely fantastic. Oh, there's somebody twerking against the ambulance, you know, something slightly different there. Twerking on the ambulance, twerking against the ambulance. He's dancing on top of the ambulance, having a great Juneteenth, partying away, special holiday for him and his brothers. But these black people died because of black criminality and this mob insanity that you see here. And I just found this story. Oh, there's that. And look, here's this guy. She's twerking. He's rubbing himself against her while filming it. I mean, it is actually complete and utter chaos. But what actually struck me about this incredible article was not the fact that it was all happening. It was the fact it was being reported the way it was in the mainstream press. This is actually the Daily Mail. That was a Daily Mail article. But that's the kind of article that if somebody who was a nationalist or a racialist had written as satire a few years ago, they would have been ripped to shreds. If somebody who was A white ethno-nationalist in America had written that article, female mob twerk on ambulance as it tries to get through to save black victims of black-on-black violence. That would have been seen as some kind of sick, dark satire. But here it is. This is the truth. This is actually what happened. This is a regular news report in a regular paper discussing this horrific incident. And the sort of things that we were satirizing sort of 5-10 years ago have become absolutely true. And when you see those pictures, I don't believe, I actually think it would have been, unless there is actually satire of this, if somebody can actually find a satire of this or a cartoon depicting something like this as going to happen, I'd be very interested. But I think even if a nationalist had drawn this as sort of a cartoon or as a comical piece 5 years ago, as a piece of satire, people would have laughed, but they'd have been like, will it truly go that far? But indeed it has. So what's your take on this, Laura? Black people twerking on the ambulance as it rushes to save black victims of black on black crime on a special black holiday. Could this have been more laughable?
I don't even know what to say, Mark, because what more can we say at this stage? I mean, it's happening right there in front of everyone. You can see what's happening, but still there'll be millions and millions of people who don't wake up to this. And I remember being contacted by a journalist about 6 months ago, and they wanted to know why I opposed BLM, Black Lives Matter, the organisation. And I told them why, and I said it's because they're a, you know, violent, far-left, anarcho-communist, anti-white organisation, and they're massive hypocrites. And I gave them this statement, and they never published it. They never went ahead with the article. And the reason they're massive hypocrites is because they only care about black lives when they can blame white people for it. So over 90% of black people who are murdered by other black people. And these people never get a George Floyd Day. You know, they never get mentioned. They never get statues. They never get their mum put into the House of Lords and made into a saint and all that stuff. They only care about it when they can moan at white people. And this is just another example where, you know, a black on black shooting and then black people are stopping that black person from being saved. I don't know what to say, Mac, because what more can you add? Just look at what's going on. I have actually been following Mike Enoch on Telegram, and he's been posting figures for Juneteenth. The number of mass shootings, the number of people who have been killed and the number of people who have been injured. And there's so many of them. They're just out there killing each other and none of them get any attention. And then he finished his post with number of shootings by white supremacists, zero. It's black on black violence, and the mainstream establishment doesn't talk about it because they can't moan at white people.
It is amazing, isn't it? You can imagine that rowdy mob of thousands being the sort that rampaged through the streets last summer, burning down shops, businesses, attacking people and demanding justice because black lives were being lost. And there they are, literally ensuring that more black lives were lost because they wanted to twerk on the funny van with the flashing lights. Jason, what's your take on this? Did you see this news item? Are you happy to be celebrating Juneteenth and having another holiday?
Well, now that I hear all of this opprobrium being heaped on the act, I'm going to have to give up twerking on ambulances every time I see them. That become quite a habit. This Juneteenth, obviously, despicable, and it's just another way to inflict white guilt on Western kind. And white people, not just in the U.S., but everywhere, will be taught that, Juneteenth is because white people had enslaved black people, and then somehow the black people must have freed themselves because white people can't be given credit for freeing them. But these things, when they happen, I really wonder, why do they continue to call this dance? And this is really obscene African mating ritual. And it's an opportunity when they have the lights to a police car, a fire engine, an ambulance. It just becomes a stage for this obscene display. It's not dancing at all. They are attempting to draw mates, and this behavior can be seen in Africa and has been there for a very long time. It was there when we first showed up in our big, beautiful, tall ships with the sails and wondered what was going on. And so the more that they have their way, the more that the biospirit of any group of people will project itself onto its environment. This happens to be natural for them. This happens to be just the biospirit. This is their culture. This is what they create. And the question is, are we going to allow ourselves to continue to be victimized, not only by having to be present for this sort of thing, having this sort of thing disrupted? Because in this case, the ambulance was racing to get somebody who perhaps would have been twerking had they not been pushing up daisies on some street corner. But what if the ambulance had been coming to pick up your mom, and your mom would have lived if it were not for this mating ritual display? You also have the reality that the anti-whites, when it comes to this sort of thing, they're going to blame us for the individual who didn't live because medical attention couldn't reach them. And even though these particular individuals who got in the way to do their mating ritual were not white, they were not properly educated by white people on how you were supposed to behave around emergency vehicles. Of course, you are to get a driver's license. Everybody knows in America, and I would imagine every single Western country, when emergency vehicle comes, you get out of its way so that it can do its job. But we will be blamed for not saving the life of what potentially was a murderer himself or herself that was shot, and blamed that these people will be thought of in a disparaging way by anti-whites. So the bottom line is acknowledging that no matter what happens, the anti-whites are always going to look for a way to victimize us, both coming and going. And then, knowing that, take steps to defend ourselves in an oratorical way, because that's the only thing we have access to, that defeats them in their conversation. And this, Mark, it was a perfect segue coming into this story, because it fits perfectly with the previous story in a display that defeats anti-whiteism would defeat this as well with just as much ease. So yeah, it's a disgusting display, but I am going to have to put an end to my twerking on ambulances because my knees are getting bad. I'm getting old. So I will pass it back at that point.
Can I just say, twerking, I find so revolting. It looks bad when anybody does it. You know, I never see white people doing it, but it's like something that you would see on National Geographic. It's like some sort of animal mating ritual. It's like really, it really is like the lowest form of communication, just like wiggling your ass at someone. And the other day, I think it was about a week ago, me and Sam went to the ballet. I've never been to the ballet before, but Sam, he trekked me and we went to see Swan Lake. And it was just so beautiful. You know, the precision, the strength, the hard work that must go into that, the endurance. It's just so delicate and just so beautiful. And I actually used to think that if you were a male ballet dancer, then it were a bit gay. But after watching this, I'm just totally blown away by them. The strength that they have, their bodies are like a Greek statue. The way that they move, it's stunning. Honestly, it's so good. And just comparing that, which I saw last week, to this video where it's like, it's like animals. I don't even know what to say. It's just disgusting. And I don't know why it's a thing. I don't know why it's taking off. I don't know why people are copying it. Because if you turn on a music channel on the TV now, everyone's doing it. Everyone's twerking. You can see, I see more of their asses than I see of my own. Like you can see everything of everyone, and it's too much. It's so degrading.
It is rather hideous. And the thing that I hate the most about it is it's blatantly a backward sexual mating ritual, and now people are targeting it at children. If you remember, there was that film on Netflix called Cuties, where they basically made an entire film around girls who are around 12 years old basically coming together to learn to twerk. I mean, how disgusting and despicable can you be? I would, I've never had a Netflix account, but after seeing that and hearing about that, I would never ever have one. That to me was just the lowest of the low. And I think it's things like that when you hold them up against what we believe in sort of traditional European dance, that you can absolutely 100% say that our culture, our ways of life, our traditions, they are not only dear to us, but I believe in this case, they're objectively better. They are high art. They are high IQ. They are beautiful. They are sublime. They are ordered. And when you look at twerking and you look at the people doing it and the way they're behaving, it's anything but. And we are on a race from the top, from the pinnacle to the very depths, to the very bottom of the barrel. And this is really an example of that. But we've had a good number of super chats tonight and questions, and we've come up to the hour mark. So let's do the questions and super chats. If you haven't super chatted yet, we're halfway through the show, and in the second half of the show, it's gone past so quickly tonight. In the second half of the show, we do questions from the audience. If you haven't super chatted yet but want to, there is still an hour to do so, and we are going to answer your questions now. And we will start with a super chat from Junta Mominari, who gave $20. Thank you so much, my friend. He said, Australia's population is going down because of fewer immigrants with COVID lockdowns. East and Southeast Asians can swamp Aussies, but they are far less fertile than white Aussies. Without ever increasing immigration, its population will collapse. So what he's saying there is, Australia's population is declining. Even the population of immigrants who've moved to Australia is declining. And he has given a link. Now, I'm going to copy that link and I'm going to put it into the private chat there so that Jason and Laura, if they can, they can put that in the DLive and Odyssey chat, if you will. I'll pop it in the Odyssey chat so people can investigate that. And Laura, feel free to pop that in the DLive chat if you can. And thank you for the $20. Redline gave $14 and said 14 for Laura's baby. Thank you very much. Serena JB, lovely to see you here tonight. Serena gave £5 and said, following the dreadful Carolyn Borisenko video on behalf of Praga U in three parentheses, should PWR have an anti-white of the week section as a regular feature? Love to our Laura. That would actually be really good. Maybe the PA website could have something like that. What do you think, Laura? The PA website could have anti-white of the week. What do you think?
I guess we could put it up as an article. That wouldn't be too much hard work. And we could get people to vote on the Telegram channel.
Yeah, I like that idea. Let us make it happen. Serena, you're full of good ideas. Thank you for your continued support. We are going to make that happen. Alex May gave £25. Thank you so much for the generous super chat and said, just wanted to say a big congratulations to Laura and Sam. And Laura is looking absolutely beautiful. Yes, she has. I've got to say, Laura, you need to take pictures of yourself now and compare them with pictures of yourself from a year or so ago, because they are night and day. You should get yourself on Charlie Big Potatoes' fitness page, because you have done a massive transformation. Congratulations. JP gave $10. Thank you so much, my friend. He said, congratulations to Laura and Sam. I see God is showering this blessing not only upon Sam and Laura, but also the entire PA community. As always, love the show. Keep doing God's work. Thank you so much. Evola's Sunglasses gave £10. Thank you so much. And said, thank you, Mark, for everything you do for our people. Just wanted to highly recommend Keith Wood's video he put out today on critical race theory. Well, when the show's over, go check that out. It sounds like a good one. Keith is a great friend of the show. Glenn the Chinaman gave $15. Thank you so much. And he said, CCP's census was recently leaked. It was supposed to be released in December, but it was delayed. The leak data revealed China's population is collapsing. India is now the most populous country. Now you know why the UK, Ireland and others wanted to get Hong Kongers so much and quickly. Well, thank you very much. I know that China are currently on a drive to get people having children. They still have plenty of Chinese, obviously, and I think they have the world's largest army with over 1 million men in arms, but it doesn't surprise me that they're having population troubles, especially after their disastrous attempts to limit population with one child per family, which was in order for quite a while. Michael57DE gave $14. Thank you so much. He said, "Hail Mark, Laura and Jason. Hail the gods. Hail our folk. Congratulations, Laura, on the good news. Jason, great job of taking that Carolyn thing to school the other day. Keep up the good work, you guys." Well, thank you very much. Glenn the Chinaman gave another $20. Thank you so much. And he said, "BlackRock, Blackstone and Rothschild are one of the few banks allowed to work in mainland China and not through Hong Kong. I am concerned with them working so closely with Zionist capital. But now I know why they have to. Capitalism needs endless population growth and they need these banks to finance the Belt and Road." Well, thank you so much, Glenn. Flying Dutchman gave $25. Thank you for the generous super chat, my friend. And he said, "News reports state there was an uptick in deadly violence on the new US holiday of Juneteenth. How did Jason celebrate it? P.S. Laura, looks like a lot of tea, you busy little bee." Jason, how did you celebrate Juneteenth, my friend?
I tell you exactly how I celebrated it. I was on and off the phone and in person with potential investors who had never considered the white sympathetic spheres before, because they didn't see anything that they didn't feel would demonize them by way of, you know, playing the villain in the anti-white narrative. They didn't see anything that they felt was really exciting, and so now they do, and they're showing interest. And this is a different class and different group of people. So while the anti-whites are celebrating their new Saturnalia, while they celebrate their new Saturnalia, and I imagine each year it will get a little bit longer. You know, it won't be a day; it'll become a week, and then it'll be 2 weeks. And while they celebrate and Rome burns, we are in the ashes, preparing and plotting and strategizing for the rebuild. That's what I was doing on Juneteenth.
Well, Laura, would you like to give a little update on Grandma Towler's? You do have a lot of boxes there. How is the tea business treating you?
Yeah, so we had, you remember last time you came to my house, Mark, and we had loads of boxes in the like kitchen living room area. All the boxes are now in the office. We've started calling it the tea factory. So this room now is just all for tea stuff. And downstairs, our living room kitchen is actually just a nice, comfortable living room kitchen. It's not full of tea. It doesn't smell like coffee anymore. But we thought with a baby on the way, we should probably have all the tea out of the way. And, you know, like the living room should be baby-proof, because I don't want the baby crawling on the floor and then like a big tower of boxes just falling on him or her. We've got like a tea packing factory now, and I've got my living room back, which is just, I'm so happy because it means I can be cozy and just not have boxes everywhere. But the company's doing really, really well. We had a Father's Day promo code over the weekend, and that did really well. We had 10% off everything on the website. All these boxes are full of Earl Grey. I think the ones with G on are Earl Grey and the ones with B on are English breakfast tea. So yeah, we just keep the tea in there and then package your parcels up and ship them off.
Thank you. Pleasant Pheasant Plucker gave £3. How did PA celebrate Juneteenth? Congratulations to Laura. I heard great things for pregnant women on keto and carnivore diets. If you can eat cheese and butter, maybe your body would excel on it. 14. How did I celebrate Juneteenth? I know what I did on June the 9th. Yeah, it's June the 19th. I know what I did on June the 20th, which was particularly good. I did a special stream on Odyssey where I conned somebody out of a Chinese. Those who watched it will know what I'm meaning. It was a great day. And now one of our wonderful PA team, one of our artistic PA team, owes me a full Chinese takeaway, which I'm very much looking forward to. Jason's already said what he did on Juneteenth. Did you do anything special for Juneteenth, Laura?
No, I didn't actually know that it was a thing. I mean, we're being bombarded over here. Isn't it Pride Month in June? That's what we're being bombarded with in the United Kingdom. Me and Sam went to York today, and there's just the gay flag everywhere. All the shops are just full of it. You just can't escape it. So I'm just trying to get through that at the moment. And do you know what? I'm so glad that I don't live in Leeds City Centre anymore, because when I lived in there and there were all these parades going past and you had to queue up to cross the road and people dressed up in stupid costumes, it used to just do my head in. But I didn't even know that it was a thing, to be honest, until I've seen, you know, people posting about it on Telegram. And I think being suspended from Twitter, I kind of miss out on a lot of things now. Which is better for my mental health because I'm not stressed out all the time and getting triggered by what people have said, but I'm not as up to date with what's going on.
I have a look at some of the things on the trending page, and I've got to say, Twitter now is absolutely horrific. It's the worst of the worst. The people left on there, unbelievable. I mean, literally everyone who's got a highlighted comment on the trending page, they've all got pride flags, pronouns, masks, or everything that you would define as a negative in their profile in some way, shape, or form. And loads of them have got that stupid FBPE thing still in there as well. So Trish65535 gave $25. Thank you for the generous super chat. And she said, "Hi, Mark and Jason. Love to Laura, Sam, and plus one." Thank you so much. Michael57DE gave $3 and said, "Thank you so much," and said, "Uncle Fester's fluffer. Really, Jason? Why do you want to abuse poor old Uncle Fester like that?" Thank you so much. Trish65535 gave another $10. Thank you so much. And she says, "She started out as a Democrat and went to CPAC and got converted. Conservatives in the US are desperate for female representation and especially defectors from the left. So she gained a platform." Well, she certainly did. She certainly did. Thank you for the super chat. British Gammon gave £25. Thank you for the generous super chat. He said, "Great show tonight and congratulations to Laura and Sam." Thank you very much. Stars Nikiforov gave $3. Thank you so much. And said, "Hi, everyone. Have you seen the new video from London School County Board meeting in Virginia, where crowds of parents protested transgender stuff and critical race theory? Any comments on that?" Well, throw it over to Jason. Did you see that, Jason?
Sorry, no, I didn't. I didn't see that, and I lost you for a second. Are you there?
I'm certainly there. I was just. Stars asked about parents protesting against transgender stuff and critical race theory, which obviously I think is an absolutely fantastic thing. And it needs to happen. And wherever that's happening, it's great. Do you have any comments on it, Jason?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And perhaps I saw the video. You have these, you have normal, this is what we've been talking about for so long. These ordinary white folk who are our natural allies. They are our natural allies as long as we remain normal, ordinary, like them. And so when they hear the use of the lexicon that doesn't affront them because they're not immediately seeing one of the villains they've learned about, we then have these incidents. And some of our most initially, some of our most articulate, vociferous, fanatical, fervid defenders are going to be our mothers, our women, who are afraid for what's happening to their children, and they go to these parents' meetings. And when they get into these parents' meetings, they're going to say what comes to mind and what is moral. Now, what has been moral for them has been, well, Martin Luther King says X, Y, or Z. And that's what we've seen for decades now. Now empowering them as the moral champion, because they are defending the victimization of our people and our children, they're able to go into these environments and contend with all of these different anti-white ideologies, calling them anti-white, and doing it with verve and passion, celerity, and magnificently. And here's the thing, and I'll pass it right back. Once our women are empowered this way, as it's happening all over the country, thanks to the lexicon and the civilization, all of our countries, thanks to the lexicon and the dialectics that they're able to take up because they're moral in our story rather than immoral in the anti-white narrative, men will then take it up. I'm sorry, guys. The reality is that whatever women will F will flourish, and whatever they deny will die. And our women have been giving time to guys who will at least villainy signal that they're anti-white, because that's what they thought women thought was moral. It was the fashionable thing. It was the right thing. And also, you have the genetic imperative that to disagree is to be thrown out of the tribe. And for millennia, that meant almost certain death for females. So now we are empowering them with a moral story in which they are the champions against the immoral anti-whites in that story. And when and once they're out there doing that, they will begin signaling to our men, hey, if you're going to be a champion in this world, if you're going to be a hero in our story, if you're going to stand up for our babies, well, then you're going to be the one who gets to pass on your genetics. And that, my friends, is a checkmate when it comes to recapturing our destiny. I pass it back.
Thank you so much for that, Jason. Yiz the Unit gave $3 and said, you say toe in a hat, I say transgender John Candy. May all our gods bless Laura, Sam, and their new baby, 14. Thank you so much. Stan One gave £20. Thank you so much, my friend. And said, great discussion points tonight. White pills being dished out as well. Thank you so much. And Pleasant Pheasant Plucker gave £3 and said, black guys climbing on stuff they shouldn't. Black on black violence. Public displays of degeneracy. That's a stereotype bingo twerking from the people who bought you passion gaps. Thank you so much, my friend, for the super chat and for the support. Now, we do have some non-paid questions. That was the end of the paid super chats. If you wish to send a super chat, there is still time. You can do that through Entropy. But we do have some non-paid questions. Jeff Beagle asked, this is a very good question. I'll let Laura answer this first. He said, I need some help. I'm 15 years old and stuck in a left London school. My parents are also left wing, and I have to deal with the benefits of, in inverted commas, of multiculturalism, and people are slowly realizing my politics. What is your advice for Jeff Beagle, Laura?
I would honestly just try to get your head down while you're still in the education system and get some good grades. And then if you choose to, you know, take on a trade or whatever, maybe you can move away from that area a little bit. Or if you go to university, I'm afraid you've got another 3 years of getting your head down. But we do need young people to have, you know, good jobs. We need people like lawyers to support us. So I'm not sure what future you plan for yourself. But unfortunately, I do think while you're still in the education system, you really do have to bite your tongue. And I feel for you because I've been to uni. I actually studied politics and I did my degree for 3 years, and all of my tutors were left wing and everyone on my course was left wing apart from me and this other one bloke. And when I did my course, I could always write about either race, class, or gender. And I thought, if I write about race, I know they're just going to fail me. So I always chose to write about class because my tutors were, you know, lefties and, you know, in the class struggle, or thought they were, and all that stuff. So I managed to graduate with a first class degree. And it was because I stayed away from topics I knew would get me in trouble, and I focused on stuff that I knew I could get away with. It's just unfortunate, I think, that they've got control of the education system, and we just have to deal with it until we win, until we take it back. But, you know, you can always make friends with people outside of school. And I think a lot of young people have the same views as us. You know, we get emails all the time from people who are under the age of 18 wanting to get involved with PA. And I always say to them, please just get your head down and come back to us when you're 18. So I know that there are a lot of you out there. But the most important thing for you, I would say, is establishing yourself, you know, and being able to stand on your own two feet. But I would hope that you've got a good set of friends around you, or, you know, maybe you can make some online or where you live. What do you think, Mark?
Well, I echo what you've said, and I'll give you some timescales, Jeff. You're obviously 15 years old, and when you're 15, you are going into doing your GCSEs. This, if you're 15, you'll be doing your GCSEs, I believe, next year. So next year will be your GCSE year. So now it's the 23rd of June. So you won't be in, or you'll be coming to the end of this school year very, very soon. So you've only got one more year, and it's not really a full year, because at the end of next year, you'll have loads of study leave for revising. You'll be off for long periods of time when you do your mock GCSEs. Then you'll be off for a bit more time when you do your real ones. Use your study leave wisely. Don't go out partying. Don't go out having fun. Don't sit gaming. Basically, use it for what it's meant for. Study, study hard, and do well. But when you come to the end of your GCSEs, which for you, as I said, is just over a year away now, and next year will seem like a short year. Trust me, when I was doing my GCSEs, every year at school seemed like a long year until you got to your GCSE year. Then all of a sudden, you finished early with that study leave. And when you were on that study leave, you were doing a few exams, and the last part of the year, you don't even need to go in because there's nothing for you to be taught. Your exams are over and you're free. So you've got the shortest year left that you'll have in school or have had in school up until now. Use that year wisely. Keep your head down. Stay out of trouble. Do exactly what Laura said and focus on getting the best results you can get. Once you get the best results you can get, and if you do get good results, you can use those results to leverage yourself a much, much better position. And what I mean with that is you'll be coming out of school and you'll probably want to go to college if you want to carry on into higher education. You'll go into college, at which point I would look for a college in a more white area, in a better area. It's very normal for young people to go from a school to a different college in a different area. And if you're in London, there'll be plenty of choice. Now, that's if you go on to college. If you wish to go on to uni, simply pick somewhere. Unis will all be left wing, so you need to keep your head down again. But if you go to uni, try to get somewhere where it's much whiter. You know, try to head up north, go to a uni where you're not going to be surrounded by the, as you call it, the benefits of diversity. You can escape this. You can do well for yourself. You just need to keep your head down in the short term, keep your eyes on the prize, get the good grades that you want to get, and move on from there. And most importantly, don't do anything at all at school that's going to get yourself into trouble, get you outed, get you beaten up. Just get through it, keep your eyes on that prize, and you'll come out the other side. Best way, honestly, I wasted my time at university trying to talk about politics. Don't do that. It's a waste of time. Do what Laura did. Keep your head down and get good grades. Now, 300 Spartans asked, "Hi, folks. What are your thoughts, please, on the anti-white One Britain, One Nation song that the Conservatives are promoting in schools?" Have you seen this, Laura?
I haven't seen this. What is this?
Well, the Conservatives have got this song that they want all children to sing in schools called the One Nation song. If I'm going to Google this now and bring it up. Conservatives.
The Conservatives have got...
Yeah.
That says it all, doesn't it?
I'm just trying to actually find it. I don't know the lyrics of the song. I'm just Googling it now. The Daily Telegraph has said Boris Johnson compared to Nazis and Soviets for supporting One Britain, One Nation song. Well, I can't. But what are the actual lyrics? Let's see if we can find this, because it's one of those things. I've got to see how bad it is. Conservatives, One Nation song lyrics. Ah, here it is, the Metro. What is One Britain, One Nation, and what are the lyrics to the song? The UK government has raised a few eyebrows with its suggestion that school children across the country sing a song celebrating Strong Britain, Great Nation. The move is part of One Britain, One Nation Day on Friday, June the 25th. Didn't even know it was a day, didn't even know it was a thing. With the Department of Education tweeting, it is about learning shared values and tolerance, kindness, pride and respect. All of those buzzwords, got to get all those buzzwords in. It has already been mocked for taking place after some Scottish schools have broken up for summer, so the event is unlikely to win praise for its message of unity. But what is the song? One Britain, One Nation is a campaign group which, according to its website, is aimed to create a strong, fair, harmonious and proud British nation, celebrating patriotism and respect for all our people. I can see where this is going. What are the lyrics? Here are the lyrics to the song. We are Britain and we have one dream, to unite all people in one great team. Now that sounds like the Team Rocket song from Pokemon, doesn't it?
I was going to say that. That's a Jesse and James song.
So what is the Team Rocket lyrics? Well, the Pokemon Team Rocket lyrics are...
To protect the world from devastation, to unite all people within our nation. It's the same.
Yeah, prepare for trouble and make it double. To protect the world from devastation, to unite all people within our nation, to denounce the evil of truth and love, to extend our reach to the stars above. Jesse, James, Team Rocket, blast off at the speed of light. Surrender now or prepare to fight. That's the Team Rocket song. And this is the We Are Britain. So we are Britain and we have one dream, to unite all people in one great team. Our nation survived through many storms and many wars. We've opened our doors and widened our island shores. We celebrate our differences with love in our hearts, united forever, never apart. So many different races standing in the same place. So many different faces moving at the same pace. We all stand together with pride in our hearts, united forever, never apart. And then the outro is Strong Britain, Great Nation, Strong Britain, Great Nation. That needs to be rewritten in a really funny way. But the fact it's like the Team Rocket song does make it slightly
I'm surprised it doesn't finish by saying, meow, that's right.
Yeah, the little cat. I always found it funny that Meowth was the only talking Pokemon. Did you ever find that funny? It was the only Pokemon that actually spoke.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it? Yeah.
Interesting. It's more interesting than that song. But that song, that is pure sort of Soviet-style propaganda, isn't it? I always like it as well how they compare it to the Nazis. As if the Nazis were singing about the great wonders of multiculturalism and diversity. That is pure cultural Marxism distilled and dressed up as patriotism. Do you know who might have written that? Your friend.
Ricky Doolan.
Yeah, that's a Doolan song, isn't it? That's a Ricky Doolan song.
It is.
That is a Ricky Doolan song. What do you think about that, Jason? Are you going to be singing the One Britain, One Nation song?
Well, I used to sing it when I was twerking, but I gave that up, so I'm going to give up the One Britain, One Nation. It's a great example, though. I just was, in all seriousness, a superb example of how the anti-white propaganda, the anti-whiteism, is getting less and less effective, more and more child, more and more puerile in its approach. It's really kind of shocking how quickly the manipulation of our people is deteriorating into something that is, well, Soviet in its the way the Soviets and the Chinese communists. That approach was always in your face. It was always, you have a classroom and these are the facts, so these are the points, and you repeat them, and if you have a problem with it, well, then you get to be disappeared. And that's where we're headed. It was so much more sophisticated and difficult to deal with in the past. But they're ultimately, as a consequence of the victory of anti-whiteism, introducing an era where things are going to become increasingly simple to address because they're just so obvious and so salient. But the song, it's no doubt, and when it comes to interpretation, the last point I'll make to this is that everything is interpretation. We could take this song and interpret it to be white positive. If you have the power, if you sit in the seat of power and you can interpret what is on the paper, then you can make it mean whatever you want it to mean. I could make any of the Israeli documents mean the exact opposite of what the Israeli people would like, despite how it's written. they will take this song and make it far more anti-white than those words that Mark just read. They will make it mean something far more deleterious for our people. So more of that to come, I imagine, and I hope.
Nobody will be happy with this song because the left think it's like the Hitler Youth, and we just think it's a load of tolerance and, you know, kindness bollocks, which is. So nobody's going to be happy with this song. When a song starts singing about, or when anyone says anything about tolerance and equality, it's not patriotism. It's the opposite of patriotism. It's suicide. It's about ruining your nation to just allow anyone to come and do whatever they want. So nobody's going to be happy with this song. I hate it already. That's the first time I've heard it sung or said. And my kid's not singing that song. And that's actually why me and Sam went to homeschool, because we're just so terrified of what's going on in the education system. And can you just imagine all the kids in assemblies on a morning singing about tolerance and kindness? And yeah, I hate all this stuff.
Are you going to have your children singing the Team Rocket song instead?
Yes, definitely.
Well, I've got a question for you here, Laura. Carlotta asked, how can she make a donation to you?
Well, there's two ways. Either you can buy some tea or coffee from grandmatowlers.co.uk, or I have Subscribestar, where you can sign up for a different tier. I think they start at $1 a month up to $25 a month, but you can also make a one-off donation, so you can just like send £2 or a fiver over or whatever. And when I start making videos again, basically when I get my laptop back from the police, that's what people use to, you know, support me to do all that work. So yeah, I still have Subscribestar and Grandma Towlers, but I don't have Super Chats or anything like that because I don't really do any streams.
Thank you. We have some more paid Super Chats. Remember, there's still time to Super Chat if you wish. Trish 6555 gave another $5. Very generous tonight. Thank you, Trish. And said, why is it a Pride month based on demographics? Shouldn't it be Pride 9.25 days? I really can't stand Pride month. And I've got to say, it's absolutely pervasive and sickening. It's in your face at every opportunity, every single company, every single institution, everywhere you look, there's... And it's not just a rainbow anymore. There's all these other ridiculous sort of bits thrown in. So there's the trans flag flown in, because all these different freaky sexual orientations all have their own flag now, don't they? And their own color scheme. And they're all part of this sort of mad Pride month. And it's just in your face wherever you go. Does it annoy you, Laura, as much as it annoys me? Is it one of those things that just... You just can't stomach the sight of it anymore.
Yeah, I'm sick of it. And have you guys seen, there was an advertising campaign that said something like, some people are gay, get over it. And I thought, we get over it. You talk about it all the time. Like, you talk about being gay all the time. No one else is bothered. Do you know what I mean? And it's just at the point now where I'm sick of it. I'm bored of it. You're gay. I don't care. You don't have to force it down everybody's throats. You have the same rights as everybody else. Do you know what I mean? And when it comes to hate crimes, if you actually look at the figures, you know, that the hate crimes which are based on insulting somebody because of their sexual orientation, it is literally just stuff like people being misgendered or somebody just, you know, having a bit of a rude word said to them. But they make out like it's people being stabbed and people being killed and stuff. And I just don't think that's happening anymore. I just think it's time that some people are gay, whatever, but they're the ones that go on about it all the time. And I think everyone else is just sick of it, to be honest.
I completely agree. And the way they talk about it and the way they push it in your face, it's like their entire life revolves around it. And everywhere it's pushed in such a perverse manner too, which is something that really, really makes it all the worse. Like, you see these Pride events, and they're just full of perversity, debauchery, insanity, degeneracy. It just makes it sickening. I wouldn't want to take my daughter out into a town or city centre when one of those parades were going past. They're pornographic. It's just disgusting. What do you think about Pride Month, Jason? Is it something that you're sick to the back teeth of as well?
Well, without question, it's anti-white. And we have, in service to white well-being, let me just say as a quick aside, right now for folks around the world who are listening to us live in a replay, I am in the magical valley of Virginia in between the Blue Ridge Mountains. So this is a place where they were going to film some of the, of Hobbiton for Lord of the Rings. And then they decided against it because they were going to have to digitally erase too many roads. But otherwise, a place that for American liberty for a very long time, well, about 200 years nigh, was considered around the world as a magical place where liberty was born for the United States and the whole idea of the United States. So just to give folks a bit of a context, because I'm out of pocket, away from Washington, D.C. and Northern Virginia right now, traveling back that direction, though. But we have, in service to white well-being, I'm not going to give the exact number, I would probably be wrong, but we have more than a handful of people who are attracted to their own sex and have realized, by way of going free, how harmful making your physical attraction, your identity is. What turns you on as an identity is injurious to your well-being. And all of these individuals who happen to be attracted to their own sex, once they have dropped that as their identity and embraced instead white well-being and the identity of a Westman, man, woman, or child, they attest to their lives improving immensely, and that indeed, over the years of their lives, they considered the fact that, wait, this is not exactly how I want to live. I don't want to actually live my life as I am the thing that I'm sexually attracted to. There are more facets of me as a human being. And maybe I'm being duped, this whole agenda, this whole group, and indeed, you were being duped. It's okay, though, because we've all been duped by the anti-whites and anti-whitism. And this thing that they, of course, the anti-whites always give and always use misnomers. I won't call it what they call it because that's the name of their taking. This debauchery, this anti-whitism in the streets. And of course, as you both rightly point out, it's metastasized, and they're drawing children, more and more children, sexualizing them, and circling back to the conversation about the twerking and the children twerking out in the streets during this, and people bring their children out to witness these men. It's all these men.
We've lost Jason to the roboting again. He seems to have disappeared on us. Laura?
Yeah, I can hear a robot as well.
I'm going to mute him. We're not getting anything. I'm just going to mute him or get him to mute himself because I can't hear a word that he's actually saying. So that's pretty unfortunate, but maybe you'll be back into reception a little bit later. We'll move on to another super chat. Crispy Bacon gave £10. Thank you so much. He said, "Hi, Mark. When Boris Johnson finally leaves office, do you think he will be as hated as Tony Blair?" I don't think he will. I don't think he will be as hated as Tony Blair. And my reason for saying that is because I think that Tony Blair obviously was not just Tony Blair was in an interesting position because he was hated by people on the right as well as people on the left. He was actually hated by people in his own party. And that was largely because of his starting the Iraq war on that false information. He took us into a war on lies. And I think that really caused him to be hated quite vehemently by the left. And obviously, he was also hated by conservatives and by people right of conservatives too. So there was multiple people who ended up despising Tony Blair for a multitude of reasons. Whereas I think Boris Johnson will be largely hated by people to the right of him, people on the left, but I think he will go down as a Conservative Party hero, a little bit like Margaret Thatcher, actually. So Margaret Thatcher, a lot of people talk about how much people hate her or hated her, but she was very popular amongst Conservatives and is still popular amongst Conservatives to this day. So I think Boris Johnson will go down a little bit like a Margaret Thatcher style character, whereas Tony Blair was quite unique in many ways because he was hated by all sides of the by everyone on the political spectrum. What do you think about that, Laura?
Yeah, I agree. And I also don't think that Boris Johnson has really done anything significant. I just see him as a bit of a meh prime minister. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah, I just don't really think he's done anything significant. So I don't really think anything will stand out as being like, oh, that was something that Boris Johnson did. I mean, like you say, I think the Tories will celebrate certain things that he's done, probably stuff to do with GDP or maybe even Brexit. I don't know. But I just don't think any politician really nowadays stands out. Like, you can look at people like Thatcher and Blair and love them or hate them, but they actually stood for something. They actually did something. Whereas now, you look at a Labour politician, a Lib Dem politician, and a Tory politician, and they're all exactly the same. They're just like cookie-cutter versions of each other. So I think we're in an era at the moment where politicians are just meh. They're just not really anything at all.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that Johnson will always be favoured as well, because like it or don't like it, it's up to you, but he will be remembered as the guy that got Brexit done. And I think that's a bit of a glowing kind of way of viewing him, because he didn't really get Brexit done. He botched the deal. His deal was no different really to Theresa May's botched deal, but that's what he'll be remembered for. So as I say, I wonder if
people will pin the COVID stuff on him. Do you think they will, like the way that he handled it?
You know what? That's really interesting you say that. And I'll tell you why. You've seen a lot of people having a go at Jonathan Van Tam, a lot of people having a go at Matt Hancock, a huge number of people having a go at Chris Whitty. But Boris seems to have somehow escaped that, doesn't he? He doesn't seem to get the out and out vehement hatred for COVID restrictions as those three do. Like, I think if Matt Hancock was released into the wrong pub on the wrong night of the week, he wouldn't get out alive. But I just don't think there's that degree of hatred for Boris Johnson. Like, no one likes Matt Hancock. Even the Tories don't. You know, even Boris Johnson doesn't like Matt Hancock. You know, he called him an imbecile, didn't he? And I think that's very telling. We'll move on from there. Next super chat. Max Anderson gave £5. Thank you so much. He said, I'm not able to listen tonight, but I hope everyone is well and fighting the good fight. We certainly are, Max. Enjoy it on replay on Odyssey or BitChute. Thank you so much. Jacob J4746 gave $3. Thank you so much. And said, just yesterday over in Loudoun County, Virginia, during the new routine meetings for the School Board of Education, parents were being for quote unquote unlawful assembly. Yes, indeed, we have discussed that. Thank you so much. Cyborg Reloaded gave £10. Thank you so much. Says, here's a tenner. Can you ban 300 Spartans, please? Already done, Simon. Already done. Pleasant Pheasant Plucker gave £3. Thank you so much. And he said, pearl clutching SJWs, white nationalists are spreading hatred and radicalizing our kids. Mark, wasn't it weird that Meowth was the only talking Pokemon? That is the quote for that. He was the only talking Pokemon. I am going to have to go back and check that, though, because there was the psychic Pokemon, which was like the strongest one, called Mewtwo. I'm not sure if he talked, like, as in, like, out loud, but I think he could psychically communicate in English to other people. Can you remember that one, Laura?
I think I watched like maybe the first 20 episodes when I was a kid when it came out. So I didn't get to Mew and Mewtwo. I was still on the episodes with like Pidgey and Diglett, you know, the little crap ones that just they just say the name. But I mean, Pikachu was the main Pokemon, and he only said Pika, didn't he? Pika Pikachu. So yeah, I think it was just Meowth.
Clip that out.
Really in-depth, intelligent conversation going on tonight.
It is. The good point is, Sophia already knows who Pikachu is. She already knows who Pikachu is. She can say Pikachu, thinks he's very cute, and wants one. Or in her words, she wants to scoop a Pikachu. It's going to be heartbreaking for her when she finds out that will never be achieved because he doesn't exist. David Peterson gave £10 and asked the most pressing comment of the night. Thank you, David. He said, who does Laura love more, Ricky Doolan or Mike Stutchbury? That's a good question. If you had to pick one, as if you had to marry one, and you have to marry one because I'm saying you do, and that's the game. If you have to marry one to save the white race, which one would it be, Doolan or Stutchbury?
Oh, Mark, please don't let me pick between those two.
Pick or be sacked. Pick up the P45's being... I'm going to email it over now. You've got to pick.
Do you think people would understand if I sacrificed the white race?
You heard it here first. This is what a radical Laura is. She won't even marry Ricky Doolan or Mike Stutchbury to ensure a future for white children. Come on, Laura, you have to pick one. I know which one I'd pick.
I mean, I'd have to pick Ricky Doolan, wouldn't I? Because Mike Stutchbury is just an abomination.
However, there could be a plot twist there. Although Ricky Doolan sweated profusely, he did look in quite good shape. I reckon if you married Stutchbury, he could potentially bowl over from a heart attack or some other obesity-related illness at a young age. So you could marry him, get lucky by feeding him on tasty, fatty treats and get rid of him early on. What do you think to that, Laura? You and Stutchbury, 2 years, 2 years max with your wonderful home cooking?
I couldn't put up with Mike Stutchbury. Actually, one of the best things about being suspended from Twitter is not having to deal with him anymore. Yeah, I couldn't put myself through that, sorry.
Somebody in the chat has made the very salient point that Magikarp was a very, very low tier Pokemon, but then grew into that giant sea beast, making him the best. So there is a lot of Pokemon love in the chat tonight. American Vandal gave $5. Thank you so much, my friend. And said, in honor of Pride Month, I sent my family an article of Jeffrey Dahmer. They weren't too happy about it. Oh, gosh. You see, Laura, this is why you're not just a special guest. You always bring out the best in the crowd. You are the most special guest. This is fantastic. The fact that somebody's brought up Jeffrey Dahmer on Pride Month. That's brilliant. You could have a double whammy there because you could bring up Jeffrey Dahmer in Pride Month on Juneteenth, and you've literally offended everyone on the spectrum, haven't you? That could be a fantastic little wind up. That could put that one in the bank, guys. Somebody do some fantastic memeing of Dharma on Juneteenth in Pride Month. And if you don't know what that's about, look up Jeffrey Dharma and what he got up to. Jacob gave $25. Thank you for the generous super chat, my friend. He said, greetings, everyone. I look forward to watching the weekly review on rerun. However, I do have a question. What is Mark, Jason, Laura's opinion on the Manabund organization? Well, Manabunds are basically ways for men to go out, have fun, get fit, and do manly activities with other men, which I think is a really good idea. I was a massive fan of the scouting movement and the Cub Scouts, but unfortunately that's been infiltrated, it's been taken over, it's been destroyed, it's been multiculturalized, etc., 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 full of now all the progressive filth that destroys everything. But I think the idea of men taking younger men out and helping shape them into better people and helping men become more masculine, improve themselves physically, mentally, and learn skills along the way, whether that be boxing, camping, bushcraft, cooking on a barbecue. I think that's a good idea. And I think men need places where they can be with other men, express their masculinity, and learn from other men. We are pack animals. We are social animals. And I think that's very, very important. And in society today, I made a video about why I think what I think of beta males recently, how beta males often bring out the worst in females. And I think if men were more masculine, if men had masculine role models, if men were more stoic, if they were stronger, if they acted like traditional men, a lot of society's problems would shrink very rapidly. What do you think of that, Laura?
Yeah, I think men need their own spaces where they can go and do their own things. And you know, Sam has a group of friends who he goes out and they train to box and they go camping together and do archery and all that kind of stuff. And it's really important. And it actually might have maybe saved our lives is a little bit extreme, but it definitely helped us when we were attacked by Antifa last year. And three of them jumped us. And because Sam had been boxing with his friends and been training with his friends, he was able to defend us. You know, he defended me and him when it was 3-on-1 and they ended up running away. So yeah, I definitely think this kind of stuff is important and I would encourage it. And I think a lot of people do that through PA as well, you know, just meeting up with the lads, because we have the official PA groups, but then people end up making friends through PA and then they go off and do their own things as well, which is really nice to see.
What does Jason think of Manabund organizations?
Well, if you can hear me okay, I raced at just over 100 mile an hour, 170 kilometers an hour to get back to a place where a little out of the valley, so we could get some signal. And I could pop back in on something about feeding somebody so that they would keel over. I don't know what that was about. But I agree with both Mark and Laura. The we do need to have our men getting together and doing things like training, like camping, but where I have concerns is very often where this goes to theory or concept to actualization, to realization, because very often when guys get together and they want to create something like this, they end up giving it some sort of a scary title, and that is reminiscent for the regular population of something they've seen in a horror movie or similar. They end up doing a bunch of secretive things and secret handshakes and secret this. And then they also end up taking a lot of video and photographs of them looking as scary as possible. That is for boys. And they're talking about, I just put out a meme of myself sitting on this concrete, kind of looks like a throne. And I said, for the summer solstice, welcome to white man's summer. Men are going to behave like men. Boys put on masks and act tough in front of a camera. And then they put the pictures out there to intimidate who. I mean, even when I was in the service and we had
I think we've lost Jason again. I think Jason has disappeared on us. I'm just going to carry on. So we have one more super chat from Jacob, who gave $3, and he said, for clarity, I mean the manabun.com, not in the general sense, the actual organization. I don't know about that organization, so I can't comment. I know that there are lots of local people doing things like that, but I'm not aware of one big overarching organization. Hello, Sam. How are you doing?
Doing well. Yeah, just like Jason, I was racing home when I heard you were forcing my wife into an arranged marriage between an abomination and a cook. So I had to stop it immediately.
Mate, it's for the good of the white. Look, it's for the good of the white race. The question was, Laura has to marry one or the other, and she has to choose now. And if she does choose, the white race survives. So unfortunately, we are forcing you into a situation where you have to give up Laura for the good of the good of us all.
Well, But much like Laura, I'm not willing to give up. So I'm afraid the white race is so.
This is terrible. You're meant to be radicals. You're meant to be able to give up anything for victory.
I thought with the Boris Johnson question just before as well, he'll probably be given credit for breaking the red wall and turning Labour, despite Labour busily like kneecapping themselves. He'll be given all the credit as like, oh, it was his brilliant policies that destroyed Labour. And it's like, no, it's taking the knee and frustrating themselves into everyone and sundry.
Well, we have one last super chat. Joseph gave $10 and said, have UK Muslims given in to the LGBT hegemony? Don't hear much, if anything, about this anymore. No, they haven't. Very interestingly, UK Muslims live in very sort of closed societies. If you go to Muslim areas, they're very insular. They live amongst their own people. Their schools are run by their own people. They usually privately run academies or community schools that they control. They have been left alone because although Labour and other groups want to push LGBT as one of their big things, Labour don't want to push it on Muslims because Labour rely on the Muslim vote, and they rely on that vote in many old northern areas, in sort of old northern mill towns. So places like Rotherham, places like Telford, places like Burnley, places like Oldham, Labour rely on the Muslim vote. And if they started pushing that upon Muslims, all the Conservatives would need to say to Muslim leaders is, we'll give you the guys the right to choose. If you don't want it in your school, you don't have to have it. It's people's right to choose. And that's be all they need to say to transfer a load more of the red wall into Tory power, into Tory hands. And I think the Muslims have yet again demonstrated that in-group preference, sticking together and working as a community, gives you serious, serious power. And it's something we need to do too. Archie gave $10. Thank you very much. And he said, I love ethnic and racist jokes. And if they become hate speech, then I'm moving to China. Thank you so much, Archie. And thank you for the donation. Not sure about moving to China, though. David Peterson gave £3 and said, Sam, do you feel threatened by Mike Stutchbury?
In sheer size, yeah. And tenacity as well. He just doesn't give up. He's like a dog with a bone.
Who do you think it would be harder to fight? Would it be Stutchbury because of the weight advantage he'd have? Or would it be Doolan, who would be so sweaty it would be impossible to grapple him?
Fighting Stutchbury would be like fighting that slimy one from the Ghostbusters.
Yeah,
I think your hand would just like
just get stuck inside him. Yeah. Was the one of the X-Men, like the Blob or something, his power was just to, like, people just hit him and just be absorbed into him. And it's like, and it's,
yeah, the blob. We have one last question, which I'm going to ask. It's a very quick one, and then we'll wrap up. Real Mermaid is Typing said, have either of you read The Chronicles of Narnia, The Horse and His Boy? It involves a white boy escaping, being enslaved by Arabs, and going back to his ancestral homeland. Congrats on the baby, Laura. I haven't read that, but I am going to look into that after the show. Have you read that, Laura or Sam?
I haven't, no.
I read them as a kid. The whole Chronicles of Narnia is like an allegory of Christ, I think. So, and I think, yeah, The Boy and His Horse was basically a lot about the kind of Barbary slave trade in the Arab world. C.S. Lewis, isn't it? And I think he took a lot of his ideas from history and from religions and Christianity specifically. But yeah, it's like, God, I haven't read them since I was probably about 10 or something like that. So it'd be good to go through them again. I know that the solid move, I never saw the movies. But yeah, the books are solid. Good stuff.
Excellent. Well, that about brings us to the end of the show. So we have lost Jason, and he said he's out of signal. He just messaged me and said, looks like that might be it for signal. So please tell everyone that I said I had a marvelous time, and please give my gratitude and congratulations again to Laura, and I will see everybody next week. So that's Jason's goodbye done and over, because unfortunately he is out of signal. So we have lost him for tonight. But Laura, would you like to tell everyone where they can find you, how they can support your work, and give yourself a little outro?
Well, thanks for inviting me tonight, Mark, and thanks to everyone who watched the stream. I hope you enjoyed it. I was worried about coming on because me and Max stream together all the time. And I was like, people will be bored of seeing me. But we usually talk about like the book club or the film club or peer. So it's nice to actually be able to talk about current events for once. But yeah, obviously I work with Mark at Patriotic Alternative. I'm the deputy and I run the PA website. So if you check the PA website, there are new articles up there every day. Also, Sam and I run a tea and coffee company, grandmatowlers.co.uk, if you want, as you can see, if you want to buy some tea or coffee. And the profits get invested back into activism and the community and stuff like that. And I have so many ideas for videos as well. I just need to get my laptop back from the police. I've even written the script, but I don't have access to my software or any of my templates or anything like that. So as soon as I get my my laptop back, I'll be making videos again and uploading them to Odyssey and BitChute. I'll be back on Friday because it's the last Friday of the month and we'll be doing, Mark and I will be doing the PA monthly update for June.
We certainly will. Well, we have one last super chat, and this is for Laura and Sam. Pleasant Pheasant Plucker gave £3 and said, any thoughts on baby names? Erica or Oswald?
Was it you said when someone was saying we'd be having Nazi babies on Twitter or something, you just teased them with like, we're saying we're going to have Oswald for a boy and Oswald for a girl.
Yeah, just Oswald. We do actually like some names, but should we share them or?
No, if you want to share them, yeah.
For a boy, we like Alexander or Alex for short, which is a good, strong, powerful name. It means the defender. And for a girl, we like Catherine, which is quite a nice traditional English name. But they might change over the next 6 months.
Well, congratulations. I am really, really looking forward to finding out whether it's a boy or girl. But we have had a fantastic night tonight on DLive, Entropy and Odyssey. We have had over 1,000 people watching. And on Radio Albion, we have had about 1,800 people watching. So 2,900 people watching tonight, which is very good considering the football is on. So it is always difficult during football tournaments, but still strong figures. And you'll be able to catch the replay on both Odyssey and on BitChute. Now, one last thing before we wrap up tonight. Myself and Laura will be back at 7 p.m. on Friday for the PA Monthly Roundup. And we will also be back on Sunday for our PA Book Club, which is a review of a book called The Host and the Parasite, which is about Israel's influence on America and the power wielded by AIPAC. So that will be very interesting indeed. The week after that, we are doing another Warzone tournament. We said we might knock that on the head because numbers had fallen. But after appearing on the Killstream with Ethan Ralph, he and Andy Worski expressed an interest in coming on and getting the Killstream and Andy's guys on board as well. So we'll be doing that at 8 p.m. on Sunday. And there'll be announcements of that coming up. We'll build up to that. Ethan Ralph will be sharing stuff and so will I. So we're going to give that another go. That'll be a lot of fun, so please join in then. So that about wraps things up for tonight. I'd like to say thank you to Jason, who has now disappeared. Thank you to Laura, and thank you to Sam for popping on for the last few minutes. It's been a really enjoyable show, a lot of fun, but a lot of interesting topics covered as well. Thank you so much to all of those who donated so generously. Your donations mean the world to me. They keep my head above water. They allow me to do this full-time as a job. Thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. But most of all, as always, thank you so much to everyone who has watched this show, everyone who's been in the live chat, everyone who shared it. This community is absolutely incredible. And on Friday night, we will be revealing some of the big plans we've got for this community later in the year. We've got some great stuff coming up, guys. Thank you so much. Stay strong. Keep fighting, and I'll see you all again on Friday. Have a great night.